Good afternoon. Welcome to the Unaccounted For podcast. It is May 6th, 2018. We're coming at you live. We're back in business, baby. Back business, baby. That's a weird combination. A little baby in a suit who is back for some apparent reason. He has returned victorious as the business baby. He is a back. Okay. that's like a habit of mine, is I always take things one too far. I cut my audio clips pretty nicely of my stand-up routines, my sketches. I cut my audio clips well, you know. But if you heard the raw data, then you would see that I always take my jokes like a little bit too far. It, you know, because when you're making a joke, you kind of like feel out how far you can go by the audience's reaction. So a lot of the times I'll get a laugh with something, and then I'll go one more and it doesn't get a laugh, and I'm like, okay, should have stopped one ago. But I don't know where that everything roots from something, you know. I don't know if that was some sort of weird, you know, early psychological thing where it's like, I always want to take it one step too far. Like some sort of weird criminal. Like a friendly supervillain. I don't know. Okay. there I am doing what I just said. I take it one step too far. Only in the fun ways, though. Not in the creepy ones. I'm a jokester at heart, you know, guys. That's just me. So we're back. We had a good Cinco de Mayo. I hope you had a good Fifth of Mayonnaise. Yeah, it's okay. That was corny. That was a corn tortilla if I've ever seen one. I'm in a goofy mood today. I don't know what it is. I was just listening to some of my old or some of my past stand-up performances, which is always hard. It never gets easier. I don't think it'll ever be a good process, but you know, it's important to listen to myself and it helps. But yeah, I've melted down some of those audio clips so that they're an easier pill to swallow for you guys. And I guess we'll start out with we have an order here, guys. We have a string of events, and I think the first place we always start is the jokes. That's what Unaccounted For is about. That's what it's here for. Is we discuss comedy. We discuss life. We discuss chasing your dreams. You know, that's the premise of this podcast. Big updates for this week. I'm learning about character development. I'm reading this great book. It's called How to Write Funny by Scott Dickers. He is the editor-in-chief at The Onion. It's like a satirical newspaper. I'm sure you've heard of it. I would recommend this book to anybody who wants to do comedy. Definitely a good read. Or anybody who wants to write jokes. If you don't, hopefully you're interested in what I'm about to talk about. it talks about character development, and it talks about different archetypes. And you know, when you think of stand-up comedians, or you know, I guess most characters in any sort of performance, they are characterized by 2 to 3 core traits. You know, and a lot of the times it's an interesting combination of traits. So, with stand-up, I think this is very, very important. You know, I don't know what stand-up comedians you know, but there's one, Bill Burr. He's the angry guy who also makes a lot of sense, you know, which is also an age-old archetype, and he's tapped into it. And see, what this does is when you establish, this is like a stage persona, you know, if that makes you, I don't know, if that's more relatable. What it does when you establish that is it makes it easier to understand your, like for the audience to understand your material and your jokes and know what to laugh at. And it's like developing your voice, you know, and, through that you bring the comedy. And it's also really good for a comedian or any performer, because then you know how to write for your style. Okay, with all that being established, I'm going to play some clips of me trying to put this into effect right? So this character that I'm trying to work into, you know, character is a diluted version of myself. It focuses on a couple of specific things. So my character I'm trying to develop is a naive person who is also wants everybody to like him, right? He wants to be likable and he's naive, okay? So those are my two core character traits. And I started a couple of performances just by establishing that, you know, because through that, people know what to expect. Okay. And one of the interesting things about character development is with a character, you don't even necessarily have to make a joke to get a laugh. You just have to play into your character. I'm gonna show you some examples. So we're gonna start off with a couple of clips. I'm just displaying my character to you guys. Here we go.
I feel insecure with the blue light on my head, you know? I'm blue, daddy. I just really want you guys to like me. That's why I'm here. That's a pleasure. So you guys doing good?
Okay, those were two different clips from two different performances, but you see what I was pointing out there. Those aren't even necessarily jokes, but it's an establishment of my character. You know, I'm a naive person who wants to be liked, and it's kind of an insecurity in that. You know, I'm trying to find who I am, and that there's insecurity there. So, just me mentioning in the beginning, saying that's why I'm here, people like that because it's just one of the rules of establishing a character. It's you get laughs from being the character, which adds a really cool layer to my jokes, where I'm not just telling a hodgepodge of different jokes. I have now honed in on what I'm trying to accomplish, right? And the second clip is me just saying, are you guys having a good time? You know, there was no joke there, but it releases their pressure because I'm kind of calling out, I'm calling the room in my character. Okay, this is very comedy specific, and I'm sorry, but that's how the beginning of this goes. So, no, it's good. I hope, you know, it's interesting. I hope to other people. I don't know who you are, but I want to. That's so through this, I'm finding my voice, and I'm finding more material that I can tap into. So I'm gonna play something that I'm working on right now. Here we go.
As someone trying to do better at like being yourself, you know, but I have an accounting degree, so that's not really warranted where I work. There was like a Christmas party, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be fun. They're like, yeah, you can be yourself, just show up. I'm like, hey everybody, I'm Ted. And they're like, yeah. Dial it back a little bit on yourself.
Okay, so this is really good because I do this joke super early on. It makes me more relatable. I'm a very like outward, like I consider myself a very weirdly creative thinker. So I like starting out like this. It establishes my character in a relatable sense. I'm somebody who has trouble fitting in, and I'm caught between these two worlds. You know, I have an accounting degree, and I also do the stand-up thing, which they can obviously see because I'm standing there. But it's a good way to start, and it brings truth. I mean, nobody really wants to talk about that, but there's a truth in not being able to be yourself at work. Right? That's, I mean, everybody sees that. There's, you know, professionalism can be the enemy of being a genuine person, I think. Or just from my observation, I think it can be very, very difficult to be yourself at work. So, you see me do that, and, you know, it works, and it needs polishing, and I have too many words, and some places, and it's not always good, but but you know, we're getting somewhere, and I'm finding my voice. That's the most important thing, and I'm finding ways to make my sense of humor more compatible with the general population. Because with my previous style, if you've listened to this podcast or you've seen anything I've done, I would do these kind of overly weird jokes where, you know, I want to make, you know, I like the shampoo Head and Shoulders. I want to make a body wash called Knees and Toes. You know, and that's an observation. I think that's kind of funny, but it's not, it doesn't have substance. So what I'm doing is I'm creating the substance through character development and through background information that people can relate to. So now if I were to say that joke, Head, Shoulders, Knees and Toes, whatever, I've been doing this where I do my observational jokes in a context of the work environment, and then it works way better. You see, because I used to just say it, the observation, but now it's, I know this is getting very, very complicated. I'm sorry, but I'm fascinated. Hopefully you're having fun too. But now I would say it's hard to be yourself in the work environment. They don't really like my jokes in the break room. And then I do the joke. You see what I'm saying? I'm creating these layers to my jokes, and it's working and it's helping. And real quick, the last comedy part that I'm going to do is last week, I think, or maybe the week before, I did I played you a recording of the donk joke that I've been doing. Is donk short for donkey? And I said I was going to try to new taglines. So here is me trying new taglines. Here we go.
Is donk short for donkey? Wait. She got a donkey. She got a donkey. I'm learning. This is how you learn. This is fun. Donkey. It's like Shrek. Donkey. And on that booty, I'm making waffles. How is Eddie Murphy?
That's fun. Okay, now this is fascinating because after what I've just talked about, you see how this joke is my character. This is entirely my character. And let me explain. The character that I've developed is a naive person who wants people's approval. He wants people to have fun. He wants to be liked. So with this joke, I'm going to take it beat for beat because this is very important. We're going to break it down. We're going to break this down. So I make the observation, is donk short for donkey? That gets a laugh. Okay, we're moving. They like it. And then I say, wait. Right afterwards, I say, wait. Like I pause and I say, wait. Like I'm putting two and two together. Okay, that's my naivety. That gets a laugh. So I get a total of four laughs here. And that's great. So my naivety, I don't know the word. I'm going to give up on that. But that gets a laugh because I'm playing into my character and it works with the joke well. Okay. So now we've all come to this conclusion. Donk is short for donkey. And I do the act out. She got a donkey. She got a donkey. I sing the song again. And that doesn't, this is, you might want to play this back because I think this is very fascinating. That doesn't get a laugh until I react to it not getting a laugh. That plays in, it's like I exert myself and then I judge myself when it doesn't get a laugh. Somebody made me aware of this and it's really important. So you hear I go, she got a donkey. I'm goofy, right? I put myself out there and then it gets disapproved by them not laughing. My reaction to the disapproval gets a laugh. It's an exertion and then a pullback. And the pause in the space makes people laugh. This is very important, and we're going to see this for me going forward a lot because this is going to be my strategy. It's very unique. I've never seen people get laughs like this. And then I almost have fun when they laugh. It's like, oh, you've approved of me. So you see, it's like, and then these are my taglines I added on. I say, it's like Shrek. I say, donkey, whatever the voice is. And I start laughing because it's like I'm having fun with the process now. Like, I'm like, oh, I can exert myself. This is fun. I'm having a chance at being liked. And that gets a, that goes well. And then I say, then I do the impression of Eddie Murphy as Donkey, you know. And on that booty, I'm making waffles. And I start laughing because I'm now being approved. I'm getting the approval of the people. And my tagline on that is I say, that's Eddie Murphy, and I'm laughing with them. So I'm naive, and I want to be liked. That character played through this bit perfectly, and that is why I got the laughs that I got. It wasn't random. I'm fulfilling the criteria I've set up, is I'm naive, and I want to be liked. And that is woven so particularly into this bit, and I'm glad that, see, this is stuff I don't realize until I analyze it with you guys, but this is very, very fascinating stuff, and I'm liking where this is going, and I could see it continuing to go well. It's exerting myself, and then letting, it's letting myself be seen. Everybody can relate to that. And then it's pulling back because I'm disappointed. Letting it breathe, and then them having fun and laughing. That's it. It's oh my God, this is fascinating stuff. I'm having a blast on this. I know this can be very very confusing, and I say this every podcast. There's my insecurity. This is very comedy specific, but this is why I love this podcast, is because, you know, it's a discussion a lot of the times of my learning with comedy, but this is applicable to everything you want to do, because I truly believe knowledge is power. Now, I didn't just learn this character stuff naturally. I bought a book, and I read the book, and this book told me that. And it told me in a way that I never understood it like I thought I did. So now I'm actually able to use it, and I've now jumped up on the totem pole. So this is my advice to anybody who's trying to do something that requires a lot of learning and is very difficult. When you hit a wall, when you push as far as you can with your current knowledge, read a book about it. Learn about it, because, or watch videos, listen to tapes. That is the best way you can move up, because knowledge is power. And if you know about something, you're now made aware of it. If I hadn't read the book, I would just be stewing in my own misunderstandings. Okay, that's this is what I'm trying to figure out. It's so fun. I love the concept of like older people listening to this podcast, because it's like I'm trying to imagine an older person listening to a 22-year-old talk about, like, I'm like, oh my God, reading books is good. is that where our generation has got? Where I literally have to, I'm fine. I love that I just came to the discovery that reading is important. How stupid of a person. And I'm bringing it to you guys like it's some profound knowledge. I'm like, guys, knowledge. Oh my God, I love it. I love that I can be so naive, but then shift the perspective. And I'm like, oh wow, this is, just when I think I've got it all figured out, I'm like, yeah, this is elementary to anybody else. but that's what this is, guys. I mean, we figure things out and we don't feel stupid about it, you know? That's the way you communicate, is you just express openly. And then, you know, some stuff is right, some stuff is wrong, some stuff is the dumbest stuff I've ever said in my life, but it's also simple, you know? And I think simplicity is something we've got away from. So yesterday I went to this party that my friend invited me to for her work, and it was this really cool, like, New York City party, you know? There's, like, two layers to it. Complex, right? There's two layers. People are like dressed to the nines. It's like, you know, people 25 to their 30s. Like, it's very like a mature party. Okay. So I'm there with my roommates, and we show up, and it has a very mature kind of like suave, like a James Bond-esque kind of feel. People are in, you know, slick back hair, and everybody's just too cool for school. And this is all just, what I'm about to say is totally true and not exaggerated. Okay, so where we're about to go is fun. So I'm kind of like, I'm hanging with my roommates, and this girl Abby is one of my roommates, and I was, we were kind of making fun of, like, how suave everything is. I'm very, like, I want people to be themselves, and nobody is really like that. Nobody is just, like, a naturally, like, hey, how are you, you know, we're having fun, but not really, you know, I'm... The fun for me is how cool I am with my slick back hair, and I've got a Jack Daniels on, I don't know what, it turned into Jeff Bridges, that's what this that impression turned into Jeff Bridges, but you see what I'm saying, people are very reserved, and they think that is cool, so I'm on a mission now, so I go downstairs, and there's like a dance floor, there's a DJ, and people are not really dancing. They're kind of standing around in these, you know, these little echo pockets where they all just hang around with their people they brought. And I just, I look to my roommate and I say, mark my words, in 5 minutes, I'm going to have everybody in this vicinity dancing. Okay. So this is what I said. That's, I was like, I'm doing it. So I walk away from my little echo circle, and I walk just to the middle of the room, and it's you know, there's music playing, and I just start dancing. I'm a very goofy dancer, if you've ever seen me. Super, super freaking goofy. And so I'm just dancing. I'm having fun. My dancing is interesting, though. I'm not just like... Like, I'm a goofy dancer, but it's kind of creative. Like, I'm just doing these weird moves, and I have decent rhythm, so I'm not just, like, shaking my body like a maniac. I'm just dancing, you know? I got these long legs, and I love this. So, so I start dancing, and immediately everybody notices. And it's, and I like attention, but I don't want to be that guy. Keep in mind, I am trying to, my philosophy in life is, like, I want to make everybody comfortable, and I want to break these walls down. That has always been just who I am. That is my purpose on this on this earth, is to take the fall of looking like a freaking idiot so people can say, wow, I can be myself because this guy is just an idiot. It can't get any worse than what he's doing right now. Right, so I am now the incarnation of that ideal. So I'm dancing, and it's like Mexican music, whatever that means. See, I think somebody might have gotten offended at what I just said, but that's what I said. Sometimes I can be stupid. I don't know what Mexican music is. Maybe it is Mexican. I don't know. We're talking about. So they're playing, you know, a Cinco de Mayo song. Let's just say that. And I'm dancing, and people, I go to these different circles of people, and I'm dancing next to them, you know, and they start dancing. Some people start having fun with it, getting involved, and then I'm, like, dancing, like face-to-face with this one older woman, and we're just, like, boogieing, you know. They're playing, like, disco music. I'm being a freaking idiot. And eventually, more, it wasn't 5 minutes, but more and more people started to dance, and progressively more and more and more and more and more, until so many people were dancing and so many people were on the dance floor, I couldn't even really openly dance because it was so packed with people out there. Everybody wanted to get involved. They're having a blast. They're having a freaking ball. And this is not a college, like, this isn't like a college party. This is like astute businessmen. You know, these are like, there's like CEOs and managers there. And I'm out there busting a move like this kid. And it was awesome. It was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had. And there was this guy. This is what I'm talking about, simplicity. Everybody brings up racism this, or bigotry that, or, you know, all this. We got to be inclusive with diversity and, you know, all this stuff. They're... idea is great, but I think the process is misguided. It was so simple. There's this black guy out there. I met him. He was in his 30s or maybe 40s, and his name was Alan. And he was one of the goofiest freaking guys I've ever met. and we are just like busting a damn move together. We were having a ball. And at no point, the only reason I even noticed that he was black was because all these people are always in my ear like, oh, you have to be inclusive. That is the most divisive thing, is forcing people to be inclusive. If you're really not racist, you don't even think about it. I'm just there dancing with this guy, and he's awesome. He was a great guy. You know, I love the man. I remember his name. That's how... Alan, and they're playing like hip hop music, and we're getting freaking down, and nobody's thinking cultural appropriation, you know, whatever misguided ideals these are. It's so wrong, it's ridiculous. And we're getting down to hip hop, you know, me and him, we even did that thing where you lift your leg up and you like touch feet with the other person, like one at a time, like opposite feet, you know, and then you switch, if you can visualize it, you know. Oh my God. And at one point I just look around. I had put so much, I literally put my life and my energy into this room. I entirely exerted myself. I made myself uncomfortable. I made myself vulnerable. I put myself out there, and it was literally like, you're either gonna, I don't care what the judgment is, I'm doing this thing. And it changed the entire room. The entire vibe of everything was changed. And it was so simple. And I was standing there, it's like time slowed down, and I'm standing there worn out from dancing. You know, my glutes are on fire. Sweat is on my back. I'm wearing business casual. I'm not even matching. It's horrible. And I'm looking around at everybody dancing and having a good time. And I was like, this is why I am on this planet. This is why I'm here. It is so simple. This is why I'm here. This is why I do anything in life. This is what it is all about to me. And I will never stop doing that. Because that is the reason my heart is beating. It sounds corny, but it's so true. And I think that this, all this stand-up stuff, all of this has been to find out what I bring to the table. Because we all bring something to the table. That's the beauty of humanity. We all have something special about us, about ourselves. And you have to find that. Because if you don't know what it is, you're doing an injustice to everybody around you, and you're being selfish. That's the best way I can think about it, because it helps me a lot when it's not so self-obsessed. What better way to get out of bed in the morning than to say, wow, people need me today. And not just me, everybody has that. The world needs you. Figure it out. You have to figure it out. And the only way I was able to figure it out is by being uncomfortable. You have to be uncomfortable to grow. Put it on my tombstone. That is my life motto. And I've made myself damn well uncomfortable. But I found comfort in that now. The old me would have been so scared. I would not have like gone and danced. I would have just stood there. Or who knows, I would have turned into the suave guy. You know, the most unsuave guy. You see those people. You see people who just like, they can't find themselves. They don't know how to be themselves or be vulnerable. So they just decide they're going to be some sort of archetype or stereotypical person, and they're going to fit into the crowd. And here's the funny part. Nobody wants that. Nobody, no real breathing human being wants to be some sort of fake version of themselves. That is not good. It's just, I don't think it's the best way to live. That's just me talking, but I think I've found something. You know, I think this is very important. So thank you guys for listening. I hope you've really enjoyed this episode. I think we got to some really cool conclusions and talked about some good stuff. If anything I said offended you or made you upset, I don't know if it did, because I feel like I came out of such a genuine place. But just in case any one person got upset about that, I would love to talk to you about it, because I'm so curious about my listeners. Email me at unaccountedfor@yahoo.com. Like, subscribe, rate the podcast, blah, blah, blah. You know the deal. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Feels like a close, it's coming to fucking mind. Gonna do, it's too late to start over. This is the only thing I know.
Sometimes I feel like all I ever do is find different ways to word the same old song. Ever since I came along from the day the song called How My Name Is dropped, started thinking my name was Fall. Cause anytime things went wrong, I was the one who they would blame it on. The media made media for the lint of a modern day Genghis Khan. Try to argue it was only entertainment, dog. Gangster? Nah, courageous balls. Had to change my style. They said I'm way too soft, and I sound like AZ and Nas. Out came the claws, and the fame's been out since then. But up until the instant that I went against it, it was ingrained in me that I wouldn't amount to a shit stain, I thought. No wonder I had to unlearn everything my brain was taught. Do I really belong in this game, I pondered. I just wanna play my part. Should I make waves or not? So back and forth in my brain, the tug of war wages on. And I don't wanna seem ungrateful or disrespect the art form I was raised upon. But sometimes you gotta take a loss and have people rub it in your face before you get made pissed off. And keep plugging, it's your only outlet and your only outfit. So you know they're gonna talk about it. Better find a way to counter it quick and make it, ah! I feel like I've already said this a kabillion 80 times. How many times can I say the same thing, different ways that rhyme? What I really wanna say is, if there's anyone else that can relate to my story, bet you feel the same way I felt when I was in the same
it
place you
love,
are when I was afraid to.
Afraid to make a single sound. Afraid I will never find a way out. Afraid I'll never be found.
Your appearance, did you struggle to find your place in this world? And the pain spawns all the anger on. But it wasn't until I put the pain in song, learn who to aim it on, that I made a spark. Started to spit hard as shit, learn how to harness it while the reins were off. And there was a lot of bizarre shit, but the crazy part, as soon as I stopped saying I gave up, all haters started to appreciate my art. And it just breaks my heart to look at all the pain I caused. But what am I gonna do when the rage is gone and the lights go out in that trailer park? And the window is closing and there's nowhere else that I can go. It flows and I'm frozen, cause there's no more emotion for me to pull from. Just a bunch of playful songs that I make for fun. So to the break of dawn, here I go recycling the same old song. But I'd rather make Not Afraid 2 than make another motherfucking We Made You, Now I don't wanna seem indulgent when I discuss my lows and my highs, my demise and my uprise. Pray to God, I just open enough eyes later on. I gave you the supplies and the tools to hopefully use that'll make you strong enough to lift yourself up when you feel like I felt. Cause I can't explain to y'all how dang exhausted my legs felt. Just having to balance my dang self when on eggshells I was made to walk. But thank you, Mark, cause that gave me the strength to call Shady Mania. Someone to empty that stadium. At least I made it out of that house and found a place in this world when the day was done. So this is for every kid who all they ever did was dreamt of one day just getting accepted. I represent him or her, anyone similar. You are the reason that I made this song. And everything you're scared to say, don't be afraid to say no more. From this day forward, just let the mayhos talk. Take it with a grain of salt and eat the fucking faces off. The legend of the angry blonde lives on through you when I'm gone. And the thing I
was afraid to make a single sound. This house with tiptoe love.